Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and today we're going to look at MVVM, Model View View Model, which is a design pattern, a UI design pattern for primarily XAML applications, although I do see a lot of people using them in JavaScript as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to see how to get started using MVVM. So as I said, MVVM is a UI design pattern. What does it get you? Well, it gets you benefits such as abstraction, separation of concerns, better reusability, better testability. So in other words, the purpose of a design pattern, and MVC is another one, is to provide you with a better development process. Okay? There's a lot of information about MVVM on the web, so I'm not going to get into a lot of that. You can Bing it and learn quite a bit about it. What I want to do in this show is show you how to get started, okay? And I'm going to refer to my notes quite a bit, so if you see me looking down on paper, it's just that I'm reading my notes, because there's a lot going on here. So some things to keep in mind when you're doing MVVM. There are a lot of moving parts. Not all of them are required. There's no one right way of doing MVVM and everything else is wrong. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of pieces, and you get to decide which ones you're going to use, which ones make sense, and when it makes sense to use them. Okay, that's important to keep in mind. There's a fair amount of code and a fair amount of work to do. So again, you'll decide when it's worth it. When's the trade-off? If it takes a lot to do it, you decide when and where it makes sense. Okay. Now, if you adopt MVVM, once you see all these moving parts, then you're likely going to want to use a framework. There are a lot of good frameworks out there, MVVM Lite, Prism, Caliburn, a number of others. So you'll eventually probably want to start using one of those. But the way I see it, if you're going to use a framework, you need to understand what it does. And one of the things an MVVM framework does is make it so you don't have to write a bunch of code. Well, in order to understand what that code looks like, you probably ought to write it yourself. At least once, maybe a few times, until you understand how it all works, and then you say, I'm tired of writing this code, I'm going to go get me one of them frameworks. Okay? So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to see what code you'd need to write to get started with MVVM. We're going to do it piece by piece. I've got a bunch of sample projects. I'm going to post all of those, and on my blog I'm going to post notes, the notes that I'm working off of. And so you'll have a better understanding and something to go reference on what we're doing. And then I'm very, very interested in your thoughts on what you see today and if you think there are better ways of doing things. Because remember, there's no one right way of doing MVVM. There are things you see across all implementations, but there's some variety for how you do it. And if you see what I'm doing today and you think, well, there's better ways of doing that, then by all means, comment, let me know, let's have that conversation. All right, and with that, let's get started. So what we're going to use is a very simple Windows 8.1 app, a store app that targets Windows 8.1, built with Visual Studio 2013, because, you know, I always like to work with shipping software, the latest shipping software. But don't think that what we're doing today is how do you do MVVM in Windows 8.1. The techniques and the concepts we're using here today apply across whatever you're using, whether it's WPF or Silverlight or Windows 8 or Windows 8.1 or JavaScript, right? MVVM is a pattern. The code we're going to write is Windows 8.1, but the ideas go across. Okay, with that, let's turn to our app. So here's a very simple app which you've seen before in this show. Let's just run it. And this version here, customers know MVVM, doesn't use MVVM at all. So when I launch this app, I talk to a WCF service, which talks to SQL Server data and brings back my customers and displays them in a grid. If I click on a customer, I see the projects for that customer. If I click on a project, I see the details for that project. I can save, I can delete. If I come back and right click with nothing selected, I can add a new customer or project. If I right click or swipe up on a customer, then I get an edit button, and I can then go edit that customer, save or delete. Okay, so for projects, if I click on a project, I can edit it or right click and edit. Same thing happens. For customers, if I click on a customer, I'm going to see the projects for that customer. Very simple app. Let's take a quick look through it because we're going to make changes to it. So let's see what our baseline is. I've got four XAML files which are in a folder called views. Now MVVM is model view model, so I do have a views folder here, but I'm not using MVVM, that's just to organize things. I have a main page, and in my main page, notice at the top here, there's a data context set. When you add a basic page in Windows 8 or 8.1, Visual Studio adds this code for you, sets the data context to a default view model. Actually, let me back up there. This part's new in 8.1, I believe. But I'm not actually using a view model, so this line of code's not doing anything. I could have deleted it, but I'm lazy, so I left it in there. I'm using the familiar collection view source, which is going to be set to customers view source. And then I have app buttons using the new 8.1 command bar and the new syntax for app bar buttons. Then I have a progress ring, spins around while I wait for the data to show up. And then I have a customer's grid view, and the item source is set to customer's view source. Okay? And then in the code behind, and I've got nothing but code behind here, no MVVM at all, I've got a observable collection of customer. Those are my customers. I've got a reference to the WCF service, which is called customer service. You can see that right here. And then in the load state, I turn on the progress ring, so I get that spinning circle. Fire up a new instance of the WCF service called getCustomersAsync, which returns an observable collection of customers. Set the source of the customer's view source to that customers, and then the customers appear in the grid. Set selected item is null, and then turn off the progress ring. Okay, when I select a customer, I just display either the add or the edit button, depending on whether or not I actually selected a customer, so when selection is changed. If I've selected a customer, I show the edit button and hide the add button. If there's no customer selected, then I show the add button but not the edit button. When I click on an item, then I'm going to call the projects page and pass the customer ID. And now I've got this application global variable called current customer ID, which is defined in app.xamlcs. Got one for customer ID, one for project ID, public statics. And I set that to the ID of the customer I just selected, e.clickedItem, cast to a customer, grab the ID, store that at the app-wide variable, and then pass it to the projects page so that the projects page can then call a method of the WCF service to bring back the projects for that customer. I add a customer, I just go to the customer page and pass nothing. If I'm editing a customer, I once again need to know which customer I selected. Pass that to the customer page. The customer page knows if I didn't pass anything in, I'm creating a new customer. If I did pass an ID in, grab that ID and display that customer. Similar things going on the projects page. For the customer or the project page, when I'm looking at an individual customer or an individual project, again, I'm ignoring this data context. I've got save and delete buttons. I've got a back button, which for customers just goes back. And then I've got a stack panel with text blocks, and I'm setting the context in the code behind. So when the page loads, I first check to see is there state, did the app start after it had been suspended, because if there is, I'm saving state, and I'm saving the current customer ID, so I get that back. If I'm creating a new customer, I just create a new instance of customer, set the page title to new customer. If I'm retrieving a particular customer, then I'm going to call the getCustomerAsync method of my WCF service, pass in the current customer ID, and then set the page title to the customer's name, set the data context of the page to the customer, turn off the progress ring. If I save or delete, I call methods of the WCF service. Okay, fairly straightforward, nothing terribly complicated going on in here, but I did want to review this code and level set, because as we start adding MVVM, one of the things we're going to do is start taking code out of the code behind. So what's wrong with this app? First of all, from the user's perspective, at runtime, there's nothing wrong with this app at all. It works perfectly well. It does everything it's supposed to do. It's beautiful. It's elegant. It's great. From a developer perspective, all the code's in the code behind. What's wrong with that? Well, there's a couple things wrong with that. First of all, everything's in the code behind. So in order for me to test this, let's say I want to test the call to the service, I have to run the entire app from scratch. I have to launch the app, wait for the customers to load, drill in on a customer, and then click the save button. There's no way for me to write a unit test for this or test just whether or not save customer async returns what I'm expecting. In a previous version of this, I thought that the result came back with the word succeed in it, and so this code here never ran. It turns out that this returns, this WCF service returns the string this customer was saved. So when I had here that said if result.contains succeed, the app didn't work as expected. In order to test that and debug that, I had to run the entire app. It'd be way more productive if I could test this code or even this, if I could test this code in a small chunk, but I can't do that with code behind. Secondly, problem with code behind, it makes it really hard to reuse. What if I just wanted to reuse the save and delete button, for example, or I just wanted to reuse this code that calls the save customer async? All reuse is copy and paste. I have to open up this project, copy code, paste it into another project. There's no reuse. In addition, there's no separation of concerns. This customer page, you know, it's good looking enough, but let's say we decided that we wanted to make it better looking. Now, I know enough XAML to do this, but I'm no expert at it. Turns out I've got a designer that I know on the team who's a whiz with Blend and is going to make this page look great. But at the same time, I still need to be working on this code. We can't work on this at the same time because everything's in a single file. If I was able to separate the view code, which is the XAML, from the code that makes things happen, then I can have the designer work on the XAML file while at the same time I worked on the code and do even more separation, maybe separate out the data access code from the logic in the app, from the view. Now you could not only do better testability, but you'd have better reuse. You'd be able to work on different pieces of the app at the same time. And that's basically, at a high level, what MVVM gives you. So let's take this app, which has no MVVM in it at all, and let's start adding MVVM piece by piece. Okay? So we have views already. These are the XAML files. We actually do have a model already because the customer services proxy code, when I add a service reference to that WCF service, Visual Studio creates the proxy class, and that proxy class contains, if we drill down in here, customer and project classes. So that's our model. So we actually already have view and a model. What we don't have are the view models. And in MVVM, the view is the UI. That's the XAML. Its job is to draw the screen. The model is the data, the classes that represent the data, and you could put your business logic in there. And then the view model is responsible for hooking the two together. So the view model's job is data binding. And then the view model's job is to contain as much code as you can get in there, that basically to contain as much code as you get in there. Because in an ideal world, in a purist kind of world, you'd have no code behind at all in your view. So that's where you kind of want to get to. And again, we're going to end up today with some, we're still going to have some code behind, and we're going to be using MVVM. So it's not like if you have any code behind, you're not doing MVVM at all. But your goal is to get as much code as possible out of the code behind. So in our first step, and this is a project called Customers MVVM Step 1, we're going to create view models. So I create a folder called view models, and I write some code. And a very popular technique is to create a view model base class. Because the view model is responsible for data binding, it needs to implement iNotify property changed. So rather than add that code to every single view model, I'm going to create a base class called ViewModelBase that implements iNotifyPropertyChanged and then has this property changed event handler. Then I'm going to create view models, typically one view model per view. And the view model's job is to be responsible for data binding in that view and then to contain the code that makes things happen. If you're using user controls, then you would probably have a view model for each user control. That's not 100% required, but that's pretty standard. So I have four view models, corresponding to my four views. Let's look at main view model. Main view model is what happens on the main page, which displays the customers. So the main view model represents customers. I'm going to have a reference to the WCF service in here, and I've got a public property called customers, which is an observable collection of customer, and this is what the page is going to bind to. Then I also have a public property called selected customer, which is an individual customer. So when I select a customer in the view, I'm going to set this property, and there is where I'm going to say, well, what customer was selected, store that to app.currentCustomerID. So I'm going to get that out of the view wherever possible and put it in the selected customer property in the view model. When the view model gets initialized, I'm going to create a new observable collection of customer. Then I will have a public method called getCustomers, and this is where the data access code goes. So I'm going to take this code out of the main page and put it in the view model. So I have a reference to the WCF service. I call getCustomers async, and then I'm going to store the customers that come back to this public customers property. And what I need to do here is, because I already set this customers property when I created this new observable collection, what I need to do is take the customers that come back and then populate that customer's property with those, okay? Because the view is bound to customers, which is this observable collection, so I can't create a new observable collection and expect the page to be bound to it, okay? So what I do is I retrieve the customers and then I populate this observable collection that the page is bound to, okay? Then in my main page, I am going to use this data context, and I'm going to set it to main view model. I'm going to get rid of that collection view source. I don't need that anymore because I'm using the main view model. And then in my grid down here, I'm going to set item source to the customer's property of the main view model, which again is this public property right here, which is populated when I call getCustomers. And then in the main page, I'm not going to have a reference to, well, I'm still going to have a reference to the customer service. I'll get rid of that later. But in the load state, rather than call the WCF service directly, I'm going to call getCustomers of the main view model. So I'm not doing the data access in the view, I'm doing the data access in the view model. Still turn on the progress ring, still set selected item to null, and then my customers appear. Okay? Now, in the edit, remember in the previous example, let's go back to the no MVVM, and in the main page, in the edit, I was setting this app.currentCustomerID. Well, I don't need to do that anymore, because in this version, what I've done is I've set selected item, I've bound selected item to the selected customer property of the view model. Got to set mode two-way because when it changes in the view model, we need it to change in the UI. And then when I change selected item, I'm going to set current customer here. So when I right-click or swipe up on a customer and select it, that's going to set selected customer in the main view model, which is going to set this code here, set app.currentCustomerID. So I don't need that in my view anymore. I'm going to say, well, what's the ID of the selected customer in the view model? Pass it to the customer page. All right, so that gets rid of the need to do this right here. Okay, a little bit less code behind, bit by bit. Okay, so I do similar things in the projects page. Projects is going to be bound to the projects property of the projects view model, and again, the grid. Same thing there. Item source is the project's property. Selected item is selected project. Now, what about customer? So customer, I'm binding to customer view model. And this customer view model, let's take a look at that, has a property called selected customer, which again, when it changes the current customer ID. I've also got a property called title, and I've got a public property called result. And when I create a new instance of customer view model. I fire up a new customer and set the title property to new customer. If I get customer, pass in a customer ID, retrieve that customer from the service and set selected customer, which right then and there changes this app.currentCustomer ID. Oh, actually this line of code here is redundant because it's already being set above. I can comment that out. And then I set the title property of the customer view model to the customer's name. And what that lets me do is that lets me, rather than set it in code, it lets me bind the page title to this title property. One less line of code. Remember in the previous version, in customer page, I was setting the page title in code. I can get rid of that. I can make that data bound as well. And I've done that here by binding it to the title property of customer view model. And then I set the data context of the stack panel to selected customer. So there's another couple of lines of code I don't need. I can do that data binding through the view model in the XAML. Okay. I've got a couple app bar buttons, one for save, one for delete. And then here again, rather than call the WCF service, I move that code into a save customer and delete customer method of the view model. And this is what talks to the service and then returns failed or success. So here I'm taking the fact that the WCF service returns this customer was saved, and I'm having the view model return success or failed. Okay? I do the same thing for project. Now when I run this, right, it works. Everything that's supposed to happen happens. And that's good. So, a couple other things to look at. Actually, when I run this, there's no back button on the main page. If I go to a customer, if I go to the projects for a customer, when I click back, I want to go to the main page. If I edit here and go back, I'm going back to the main page. And if I'm on a project and I click back, I want to go to the projects page. So in the customer page, the back button here just uses the built-in go back button provided by the navigation helper, which is right here in the common folder. But for the projects page, when I click this back button, I want to specifically go back to the main page. I don't necessarily want to go back to where I was. So I'm going to use my own click event handler, back button click, which navigates to the main page. And then in the project page, when I click the back button again, I've got a back button click. And I explicitly go back to the projects page for whatever projects. Yeah, there it is. Sorry. The back button. I was looking at the wrong code. The back button, I go back to the projects page for the customer ID of the selected project. In other words, the customer we're looking at. Okay? All right. So, at this point, we've started using MVVM. And I think this is the bare minimum you need to use in order to be using MVVM. We have view models. We've started getting code out of the view and putting it in the view model. The view model is responsible for data binding, and the view model contains code that we don't want in the view. And remember, in this kind of pure, ideal world, there'd be no code behind in the view. The model layer would have nothing but the data and any business logic, and then the view model would have all of the rest of the code. We're not quite there yet, but we've moved more code into the view model, and what that's given us is the ability to write unit tests. I can now test this code right here without running the entire application. I can modify this code here without mucking with the view. I've got a separation of concerns. I've got more reusability because I could reuse this customer view model in additional applications. Let's say I've got 5 apps that work with customers and they all have different UI. I could reuse this view model, and in fact I could take this entire view models folder and put it in a separate library and put it in a portable class library potentially, and then reuse it across store and phone apps and also WPF apps. Or if I'm just building store apps, I could take this view model, take my view models and reuse them across multiple Windows store apps. So this is good. but we want to do more. Okay, so the next thing we want to do is we want to, first of all, think about, do we really want to use the model defined by the WCF service? In this example, there's really no need to. The WCF service, since I wrote it, returns only the data we need. But let's say that service returned 125 columns of data for customers, and you're only using 12 of them in this app. Now you're returning 113 columns of data that you don't need. Maybe that's an awful lot of data that you don't want in the app. Or let's say, for the purpose of this app, the customer has name, it has last year's sales, it has how much money they owe us, it's got contact information, and that data comes from multiple backends. So we'd have to create service references to four different backends, which would give us four instances of the customer class. Or we'd have a customer class, a customer model class, a customer orders class, when what we really want is one customer class. So we don't necessarily want to use the model that the WCF service returns. We want to create our own customer model. And then the next thing I want to do is, I don't like the fact that the view model is talking directly to the WCF service. What happens if we decide we're no longer calling a WCF service, we're now going to call an Azure mobile service, or it's changed from a WCF service to Web API or OData. Now, in order to get data from a different source, I'd have to change my view model. I want another layer of abstraction. I want another level of abstraction talking to the data, and then the view model calls that. So that's what we're doing in this project, MVVM Step 2. First thing we're going to do is create a models folder and create customer and project class, which has just the data we want. Then we're going to create a service called customer data service. And first, before we do that though, we're going to create an interface. iCustomer data service represents all of the actions that can be taken. So here's get customers async, which returns a task of observable collection of customer. Here's save customer async, which takes a customer and then returns a string, whether it's success or failure. Same thing for delete, same thing for project. So I'm going to create an interface here that represents each of the actions that can be taken. Then I've got a customer data service class, which implements that interface. And this is where my data access code goes. This is where I've got a reference to the WCF service. This is where I literally call the WCF service and return an observable collection of customers, or get a specific customer and return a customer, or save a customer and return either failed or success. So again, I get my specific data access code out of the view model and into this service, and then the view model no longer has a reference to customers.serviceClient. It's got a reference to this customer data service living in the customers.services namespace. And then the view model creates an instance of that and then calls the get customers async method of the data service. What this gives me the ability to do is swap out the data access layer without changing the view model. All I'd need to do is create maybe customer WCF data service and then a class called customer Azure mobile service data service. It's kind of a long name. But both of those would implement iCustomer data service. And then all I'd need to do is, instead of calling customer data service, here I would call customer Azure data service, or better yet, get all of those into different libraries. And then all I'd need to do is, instead of calling using customer's service, I could call customer's Azure service, or even better, always call customer data service, but just point to a WCF library if I'm calling a WCF service, an Azure mobile service library if I'm calling that. So all I would need to do is change the using statement, and then the view model points to different data. I know there was kind of a clumsy way of saying it, but hopefully you understand what I mean. In order for the view model to work with different data, all I'd have to do is point it to a different library. And that library is responsible for talking to the backend data. Or I'd point it to a different class. right? If it's all in the same project, I'd have multiple classes, or I would have move all of these into separate libraries. Either way, all I do is point the view model to something different. Then none of the code in the view model changes, except the using, if you will, or the code here. Everything else stays the same, and then I could have multiple data sources, including mock data. Okay. So that's the next thing we wanted to do. Haven't changed any of the code in the view. Didn't have to change the model. I added a model. I don't have to change any of the code in the view. That all stays the same. The only thing the view model did was point to the data service instead of the WCF service. So this wasn't a heck of a lot of work. But what I have is another layer of abstraction, which now gives me better testability. If I want to test the data access, I come into this customer data service and write a unit test on this. If I want to test that the view model is doing the right thing with the data that comes back, regardless of where it's coming back from, then I write a unit test and just test this code. And that's where I would start using a mock data service. I want to test whether or not I create this observable collection properly, or I want to test whether or not I handle success or failure when saving properly. I don't have to call the actual data. Why does there need to be network traffic? So this creating this level of abstraction gives me the ability to do that. I just point to different data, WCF, Azure, mock data, and then I can just test these two lines of code. So hopefully you're starting to get to see some of the benefits of doing this. There's work involved, you're seeing it, but there's also benefits. Okay, and then of course, just to show you there's no tricks up my sleeve, run the app, and it does exactly what it's supposed to do and exactly the manner it should do it in. And we are all good. I think it's delightfully ironic that I tell you that one of the benefits of MVVM is that you can create unit tests, and then when I prove the code works, I do integration testing by just running the app from scratch. But let's not worry about that. We'll just love irony. Okay, next up, we want to get rid of more code behind, right? That's the next thing to look at. Let's go into our code behind and see what we can get rid of. So the next thing I want to get rid of and look at are these click events. I'm clicking on the customer grid view. I'm clicking on the add button. I'm clicking on the edit button. And when those happen, I've got code running, whether it's in the main page or it's in the customer or project page. I've got a lot of code in here that runs when I click buttons. I want to get that code out of the view and into the view model. So in step 3, what I've done in the view models is I've added methods to do something when the user clicks. So in the main page, when I click add, I'm going to call the customer page and pass nothing to it. When I click edit, I'm going to call the customer page and pass the selected customer's ID. So I'm going to, in step 3, I'm going to create methods of the view model that run that code. Now the question is, how do I hook up the add to this code? I understand in code behind how I make that code run, because I've explicitly in my XAML said, when the user clicks this, run the code in add button click. The runtime says, where's add button click? Well, the first and only place it looks is in the code behind. Oh, there it is. Okay, I can run that code. And then at runtime, this code runs. But when we've moved this code into the view model, how is it that we tell the runtime where to find this code? And the way we do that is through something called commands. So now, in the main page for step 3, instead of wiring up a click, I'm going to call a command. And commands are data bound. I'm going to bind this command to a property of the view model called addCustomer, or a property of the view model, the main view model, called editCustomer. So main view model has a public property called addCustomer and a public property called editCustomer. Now, in an earlier version of this, I was using iCommands, but then I discovered that in the common folder, Visual Studio creates a relay command for me, And a relay command is a command whose sole purpose is to relay its functionality to other objects by invoking delegates. So in other words, the purpose of a relay command is to wire up the view to code that lives in somewhere else, in our case, the view model, and to hook those together. So now, when I click add, I'm telling the runtime, hey, go call the addCustomer method of the view model. Right? Did I say method? It's actually a property. What I'm saying is, let me back up and say that correctly. When I click this button, go set, if you will, the addCustomer property. Well, it is a command. So basically go run this relay command. I had it right the first time. Okay, so third time's a charm. When I click the add button, go execute addCustomer. Go tell the main view model to addCustomer. The view doesn't know what that means. The view model does. The view model says, oh, addCustomer. That's a relay command. But what is that relay command hooked to? It's hooked to a delegate. And in the initializer, here's where I link the two. I say, oh, addCustomer delegates to the add method here, which will then navigate to the customer page. So let's set a breakpoint here and see how that works. Okay, when I click this, it was actually edit, wasn't it? When I click this, it was add. Oh, it was add. Duh. When I add, there we go. Clicking add calls into the view model, calls into the delegate add, and runs this code. Okay? This code's actually easier to write than it was for me to just explain it. How about that? Okay, so I've got add and edit in the customer view model, in the projects view model. I've got add, edit, and go back, because on the projects page, since I have explicit functionality that I want to run when I go back, I've hooked up that back button to a command called go back. And in the projects view model, I'm going to associate that go back relay command with the go to main page delegate, which just goes to the main page. And then for something like customer, let's get the customer page. I'm binding to save customer and delete customer, which are relay commands in that view model. And that code is going to call the data service to save or delete, and then go to the main page. If the deletion or the saving was successful, go back to the main page. And then I do something very similar in the project view model. I've got save, delete, and go back. There's save, delete. Go back is bound to go to projects page, and I go back and show the projects for that customer. Okay? So by using commands, I can get more of the code behind out of the view, and I can also test the navigation separately. I could test this method right here. When the save or delete works, do I actually go back to the right page? I could write a unit test based on this and test the navigation. More abstraction, more testability, and think about it, one less place that the view knows about the model, because if we go back to the second step, one last place review. I put that in my notes, but actually, I'd already taken care of that. So strike that. We already took care of that. One less place where the view knows about the model. Okay. So that's better. Less code. So if we look in step three and we look at the code behind, for example, in the main page, we've gotten rid of the add and edit item clicks. And in the project page, for example, we got rid of the add, edit, and go back. So we've got less code behind. That's good. All right, we're making lots of progress. Next up, this right here. One of the tenets of MVVM is separation of concerns, meaning things don't necessarily know about everything. The view talks to the view model. The view model talks to the model. The view should not know about the model. The view should know about the view model. The view model should know about the model. But look, here, when we click an item, we need to call the projects page and pass the current customer ID. Which customer did we click on? What's the ID of that customer? We know e.clickedItem. You know it's a customer. I know it's a customer, but the runtime knows it's an object. So I need to cast that to customer, grab its ID, set app.currentCustomer to that, and pass it to the projects page. So the view knows about the model. We don't want the view knowing about the model. We want the view to know about the view model, and we want the view model to know about the model. The view should not know about the model. Now, in the previous steps, in the back of the main page, in the code behind, in the edit, we were able to rely on the fact that the selected customer was this main view was main view model.selectedCustomer. So we didn't need to know about the model. But that doesn't work for the item click because in Windows 8 and 8.1, clicking on an item in a grid does not select it. Oh. So you can't rely on reading selected customer from customer's view model because it hasn't been set yet necessarily. When we run this code, nothing selected, so selected customer is null in the view model. When we click on that, main view model.selectedCustomer.id will blow up because selected customer is null. So either the ID is nothing or that code's going to blow up. So what we need to do is take e.clickedItem, cast it to customer, and then pass that to the projects page. But this code shouldn't be in the view. So in step 4, we're going to create in the main view model a method, public method called navigate to projects page, which takes an object. We're going to pass it e.clickedItem, then we're going to cast it to customer, grab its ID, and pass it to the projects page. Okay, so in the main page, we've still got code behind, but we don't need to know about the model. We call navigate to projects page of main view model, pass in e.clickedItem, which again is an object, cast it to a customer, and then call the projects page. And I do a similar thing for projects. There's a navigate to project page, which is going to take an object, which is selected project, cast it to project, grab its ID, set app.currentProjectID to that, pass that to the project page. And then in the projects page, in the item click, we're just going to call this public property of the view model. So the good news is we haven't really, well, I guess we saved a line of code behind, right? Yeah, we saved one line of code behind, which is good. We have less code behind, but we haven't gotten rid of this item click yet. So that's the bad news. The good news is the view doesn't know about the model. The bad news is A, we still have this code behind, and B, this feels kind of hacky to me. It's a hack. It's a workaround. So what I really want to do is use a command. So what I want on the grid, on this grid view, is to hook up a command to item click. Now, out of the box, built into Visual Studio, there is no ability to hook up the item click on a grid to a command. Not all controls support that. But there is a way to do it. You just have to write it yourself. So in step 5, here's what we're going to do. We are going to hook up the item click of the grid to a command. And then what we really need to do, let's go back here, what we really need to do when we do that is we want to pass to that command an argument. When we called the add, the edit, the new, the go back, we didn't need to pass arguments. But here we need to pass an argument. What we want to pass is the selected customer. So you might think, well, we'll just use the relay command. But the problem is, the thing is, the relay command that Visual Studio creates does not accept arguments. So we need two things. We need a relay command that can accept arguments, and then we need to wire up the item click to a command, which we can do in code. So the first thing we're going to do is create a relay command, a generic relay command, and I put it in a namespace called helpers to distinguish it from this relay command, the one in common. Okay. So my generic relay command is action of t, func of t, and then in the execute, I'm going to pass, there it is, right there. In the execute, I'm going to pass an object. Okay, now that I have a relay command that can accept arguments, what I'm going to do is write some code that gives me the ability to bind a command to the grid view item click. And I have borrowed this code from Jeff Weber Cross. Thank you very much, Jeff. Here's the blog where he shows how to do it. And so you create a command property, and in the grid view item click, we are going to command.execute e.clickedItem. So this command is going to take e.clickedItem from the grid and pass it to the generic relay command that we bind to. And so now what we do in the main page is, first of all, bring in helpers, because that's where that relay, that's where this grid view item click command class is. And then in the grid view, we're going to say grid view item click command dot command equals, and we're going to bind to the click customer method of the main view model. So now main view model has, in addition to add customer and edit customer, a click customer. Add an editor based on the non-generic relay command. Click customer is based on the generic relay command, and it receives a customer. And then we are going to wire that up to the click method, which takes a customer, grabs its ID, sets app.currentCustomerID to that, and calls the projects page. So the GridView click command is going to take e.clickedItem, and because the relay command is generic and it's taking an actual customer, I don't even have to do the casting. The casting occurs right here. There's the casting, grab the ID, pass it to the projects page, and the net result of doing that is no more item click. I've gotten more code out of the view. And I do the exact same thing for projects. So projects has a click project, which calls click, which receives a project, calls the project page, passing the ID of the project. And then in the projects page.xaml, scroll down to that. Here's where I wire up that command to handle the item click. And again, I take that item click out of the project's view. So again, another level of abstraction, another place where we've removed code from the code behind. We're making progress and getting closer and closer to a world of, I don't know, even better MVVM. So at this point, this is as far as I'm going to go with the demos. This is, I think, an excellent start. Hope you agree. What we're doing at this point is we're making good use of MVVM. This is pretty good. No, we're not making full use of everything MVVM has to offer. No, we haven't done all of the techniques that you'll commonly see. We haven't started using a framework yet. We wrote all this code ourselves, which while we're learning is a good thing, but once we know what it does, you're going to say, why the heck do I have to write all this code? Why can't I just rely on a framework? So we will eventually use frameworks. But what this has given us is a pretty good start and a pretty good implementation of MVVM. We have abstractions. We have separation of concerns. We have more testability. We have more reusability. So is it worth it? We wrote a bunch of code, and we're going to have to write more code. Was it worth it? If you think yes, absolutely go do it. If you're still not convinced, well, then keep learning and play around with it. Of course, it's going to be easier to do this from scratch in a new project. might be difficult to take an existing project, especially if there's a ton of code in it, and rework it to use MVVM. So it might be something that you only use on your projects going forward. You get to make the call. Okay, now, what are some of the other things that we'd like to do? So our next steps, were we to do them? Well, the first thing I would like to do is get rid of the rest of this code behind. So when the page loads, we're calling getProjects in the projects view model. And in the main page, we're calling getCustomers. I'd like that code to be handled by the main view model, which is easy enough to do. But then how do I turn the process, the progress ring on and off? Ideally, this would be handled by the view model. What I really want is when the page is created and I instantiate a new instance of the view model, what I really want is for the view model to call back into the view and say, yo, turn on that progress ring. And then the view model goes and gets the customers and sets the customers' property so that the page is bound. And then the view model calls back into the view and says, yo, turn off that progress ring. To do that, we're going to have to set up some communication from the view model to the view. And then the same thing for the selection changed. So that's a couple things that I'd like to get out of here. Another thing that I would like to investigate is where does state get saved? It's page state, so you'd say, well, I should store it in the page, but it's stored in view behind, so can't I store the state with the view model? And if I do, how does the view model get called to retrieve the state, and then what does the view model do with that state? Because it's got to send it back to the page, because, for example, on the customer page, if there's state to be restored, I'm setting the properties of text boxes, and then when I save state, I'm retrieving the properties of the text boxes. So I'd like to get that code in the view model, but the question is, how do I do that adequately? And then there are things like, do I want to use a navigation service and dependency injection? Do I want to use a view model locator? There are ways, if you use a view model locator, you can get rid of this code here and have it taken care of automatically. So there's certainly additional things that we want to explore. And then, of course, there's the whole issue of the frameworks. MVVM Lite, as I've mentioned before, Prism, Caliburn, there's others. So we'd kind of like to see how to use those. But we will save those for future episodes. This is a pretty good place to stop here. So hope you learned a lot. Hope you enjoyed this. Hope this gave you a good introduction into how to getting started using MVVM. As I said, I will make all of these projects available, all this code, and on my blog I will post the notes I've been reading from, which is kind of the step-by-step that I took to create these, and I am 100% interested in having the conversation on, you know, what we use. Are there better ways to do this? Are there different ways to do this? Let's explore. So, again, hope you like that. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.